You don't have to live long to have regrets, do you? Regrets about the way that you spent time studying at school. Regrets about jobs that you did take. Regrets about jobs that you passed up and didn't take. Regrets about things that you have said. Regrets about things you didn't say. Regrets about how you raised your children. Regrets about how you have used your time. Now, who of us wouldn't wish to have a second chance at least part of our lives? Well, what if you could start over again? What would you do differently? Today we begin a series that will continue through January to imagine the possibility that things could be different. Now, what if our lives were different? What if we looked at our treasures in a different perspective? What if there was another better way to live? And today we ask the question, what if you could start over again? Imagine never regretting a single action that you have made, a single word that you have said, a single decision. Living a life free of regret, where you always said the right thing, where nothing could be held against you. Okay, we can't change our past and what has happened, but what if we could put an end to that chapter of our lives? What if there was some way to wipe the slate clean? We are at a time of year where people prepare to make all kinds of New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you're in that boat yourself. You've got 2 days to think of them. And New Year's resolutions are where we promise ourselves that we're going to break all the bad habits of the past year and make changes for the better. Yeah, we will eat less and we will exercise more. We will think before we speak. We will learn a new skill. We will manage our time better. And we make these promises to ourselves because we want to start the year afresh. We want a clean slate where we can begin again. And seasons and the new year is a great time to do that. Now, I have no research on this, but my guess is that the majority of New Year's resolutions that people make in the world don't last all that long. If you get to February, you're probably doing well. But we want to start fresh, but we inevitably drift back into our old habits, our old routines, and our old ways of living. In order for us to make drastic and permanent change, in order for us to truly start over again, we need help. If it were possible to ever start over again in a meaningful way, we don't just need more motivation or more programs or more patience. We need help from well outside of ourselves. We need help from the God who created us. And the good news of the Bible is that this is exactly the kind of help that God provides. God is very much into second chances and new beginnings. And our passage this morning in 2 Corinthians tells us exactly how God allows us to start over again, to start fresh through the work of Jesus. So why can we start again? If you've got a Bible, have it open at 2 Corinthians as we follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. What's the most obvious way to divide our Bible into two parts? Well, the Old and the New Testament, isn't it? And every Bible has a page in it somewhere that says, here's the end of the Old Testament and the start of the new. It's the page that separates one from the other. And everything that happened before Jesus came into the world is beforehand, and everything about Jesus coming, his life, death, resurrection, and what happened comes afterwards. That single page in the Bible is actually a really unhelpful page. Because the four accounts of Jesus' life that come immediately after it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're probably better understood as being part of the Old Testament. The most significant dividing moment in the Bible is not before and after Jesus was born. It is before and after Jesus' death and resurrection. That's the most significant change. Now, it's obviously hard to put in a couple of chapters at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a dividing page. It doesn't really work that way. But Jesus' death on the cross is the single most history-shattering event that changes absolutely everything that comes after it. And this is the truth captured wonderfully in verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus has died for all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our mistakes, all of our regrets. The one who had no sin became sin for us. He took our sin upon himself and gave us his perfect life. It's a crazy exchange. And so in verse 15, we're told that he died for all so that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for Jesus who died and was raised for us. Jesus' death and resurrection is the point in history where everything changes. And it is the reason why we can start again. That no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what regrets you may carry, Jesus offers the possibility to put an end to the old way of life and to now live, notice, not for ourselves, but to live the way that he created and designed us to live. I've always been someone who enjoyed having rules in life. Right? Clear rules are helpful for bringing order and structure and reason. It's what makes our families work, our workplaces, our schools, our cities, our communities. The rules help quite a lot. But I hate rules the moment that I disagree with them. I might not be alone in that one. The moment that I think this rule is so stupid, I hate it. I'm no bureaucrat. I do not love rules for rules' sake. Sometimes people perceive God's commands and rules and instructions as being this burden to carry. That God gives us rules to stop us having fun or to keep us in line or to even control people. But that could not be further from the truth. All of God's rules and commands are given to show us how to live according to God's good design. They show us how to have the best relationships, the most joy, to find real and deep satisfaction. And so when the Bible says here that we can no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus who died for us, it's saying that we can now live according to the way that God designed us. Or we can live the best way possible. Imagine if you could start your life over again. If you could make different choices than the ones that you have made. Do you think you'd get it right every time? the second time around. If you're like me, you'd probably need a third chance and a fourth chance. Now, no doubt, sometimes we would make better choices, but I'm just as certain that we would make new choices that were just as disappointing and just as regretful. And what Jesus offers us is something very different. He offers us the opportunity to live right according to God's choice and design, not our own. And he doesn't leave us in the dark wondering what that might be. He's already given us instructions on how to live. And you'll notice that there's nowhere in the Bible that tells you what kind of job you should do or what university you should go to or what words to say to a friend to mend a relationship. God is much more concerned about our character, with our attitude, our intent, and how we make choices in a way that reflects God's character. And so we don't actually need a second go at living our life. We don't need a second go to make better decisions than we did the first time around. We can start again today. Because Jesus has died for all of our sin. He's died for all of our regret, all of our mistakes, all of our failures. That no matter who you are, and no matter what you have done, it is no longer held against us by God. He has shown us a new and better way to live. Sometimes I hear people say that they believe they've just been too bad. Like their life is too messy. They are beyond the point of redemption. If you think that you have ruined God's plan for your life, remember this. You are not that powerful. You are not that powerful to thwart the plans of the God of this universe. You are not irredeemable by any stretch. You are exactly the person who Jesus came for. We can start again because we trust in Jesus' death to put an end to our old way of life. And in Jesus, we are made a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. So what does it look like to start again? Here are three thoughts from this passage. What do we do to start life again with Jesus? Firstly, we stop measuring with human standards. Have a look from verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Do you want to know how I judge people? According to myself. If I'm going to judge somebody, I'm not saying this is right or good, but I'm going to judge them according to me. I got that voice in my head that says, oh, I would never do that. Or, if only they were more like me. And when I do something bad, I can so easily justify why it was necessary in my mind, and I make it okay. For example, if I see you speeding down the road, I will think, wow, you've got a real problem. But the moment that I catch myself speeding, I think, the car was just too slow. Like, they were the dangerous one, not me. And I can justify my own actions so easily. When we judge and compare ourselves to others, we're really creating a measuring stick that looks exactly like ourselves. That's what Paul means here in verse 16, regarding no one according to the flesh. one of the best ways to start again is to stop measuring with human standards, to stop regarding people according to the flesh. And when we stop comparing ourselves, well, we can see people in a new way. They're not better or worse than us. They are people just like us. They too have regrets and mistakes and sin. And they too need the saving grace of Jesus. One of the first steps to mending relationships is to see others as God sees them, as people created by him and in his image. And that allows us to take the first step in mending our relationship with them, to show humility, to admit our part in what is now broken. And it also means we stop justifying our own actions. See, when Jesus is the measuring stick, well, we have a much better understanding of ourselves. And we have a greater understanding of our need for Jesus' forgiveness. To start again means stopping measuring with human standards. Secondly, we do it by coming to Jesus. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You notice what is required to be a new creation? We must be in Christ. You can't start over again without Jesus. Only he can completely deal with your past, no matter how bad it may be. And here is where some people get it wrong. Friends, God does not love some future version of you where you have it all together. He's not waiting for you to get cleaned up and nicer and a bit more patient and then he will love you. No, he loves you now, as you are. Jesus died for you precisely because he loves you now. And he loves you enough that he won't let you stay as you are now. And so maybe what you need to do as you come to Jesus is to confess your sin and seek God's forgiveness. Maybe you need to hear God's instructions and commands and ask God for a fresh desire to follow him. Or maybe you need a reminder not to go back to your old way of life because you are a new creation. Come to Jesus. Remain with him. Listen to him. Learn from him. Walk with him. The third way to start again is by promoting reconciliation. Let me read verses 18 to 20. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God has reconciled us to himself, and he has made us his agents to both represent his reconciliation in the way that we live and to promote it to others. Our world is perhaps more divided than it ever has been in history. Politics, gender, religion, race have all become such divisive issues in our culture. Our responsibility is not to take sides. It is not to persuade people to become more politically conservative. and it is not to persuade people to become more politically progressive. Our responsibility is not to keep people from bad countries out of our country. And it's not to invite everyone into our country. Our responsibility is one of reconciliation. To reconcile people to one another and to their Creator. Not to make everybody think the same thing, but to promote good and harmonious relationships despite our differences. To see people from every tribe and nation and people and language be reconciled in their relationship with God. To see them come to Jesus with us. And of course, reconciliation starts with us. It is learning to forgive others for what they have done to us. It is learning to love people who think and act differently. Because here's the thing. Starting over again is not really about living life the way that we wanted to live it. Starting over again is about living life the way that God created and designed us to live. It is the only way to live without regret. It is living according to His plans and purposes, to be His representative. And even in the worst of our sin, we can begin to reconcile with others by admitting our own mistakes, by admitting our failures. We can be a living display of the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And we can not only share the message, we can live the message. What if you could start over again? We may wish that we could start over again with a clean slate, make different decisions, different choices in our lives. But the truth is that God uses us in all of our failures, in all of our mistakes, and in all of our sin to display His love and mercy in our lives. We start again not by erasing our past, but by creating a new future, by being reconciled to God through Jesus, by being a living example that this is indeed a better way to live. So how will you start over? Who will you forgive this year? What relationships do you need to mend? Where will you admit wrongdoing? How will you promote reconciliation? How will you share that message and live that message?